In Jesus' name, amen. Our text this morning is the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 13, and we begin reading at verse 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid. And for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. And these are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed in Christ, Jesus Christ is our priceless treasure. He is that because we have come to know and believe that he has sought and purchased us. He has given his all for you and me. The words before us today are part of a series of seven parables told by our Lord and recorded here in one chapter, Matthew 13. The setting for these parables is important and helps us to understand better what they are about and how they apply to each of us. Matthew 13 brings us to a time in the ministry of Jesus when the opposition against him was coalescing and hardening. Already in the first parable of this chapter, Jesus had taught how the sower who sows the seed would cast the good seed indiscriminately over all the soil, but so much of the soil would prove to reject the seed in one way or another. The word of God would go out, but few would receive it and believe it. The multitudes would hear Jesus, but hearing, they would not hear, and seeing, they would not see, as Isaiah had foretold in his prophecy. At the end of chapter 13, the hometown of Jesus, Nazareth, rejects him. We are told they were offended by Jesus. They knew him as the son of a carpenter. How could he now presume to speak and teach with divine authority? In the first part of the next chapter, we hear of the murder of the blessed forerunner of Jesus, the silencing of the voice of one crying in the wilderness, John the Baptist. This growing opposition to Jesus, the rejection of God's word, would prove to be demoralizing to his disciples. Their own faith in him would prove to be weak. Our Lord would tell Peter, again at the end of chapter 14, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And so here in this later part of chapter 13, after the multitudes have gone away, Jesus speaks to his disciples in a few parables. And the purpose of these parables is this: to show these faithful but weak disciples how much they are treasured, loved by God, by the Christ, Jesus. Both of these short parables end with the same actions. A treasure is found, and then the man or the merchant goes, sells all that he has, and buys it, the field with the hidden treasure, and that pearl of great price. As is so often the case in our reading of God's word, as well as in our reading in general, we need to pay attention to who is doing the action. Who is the subject of these verbs? Who is it that goes and sells and buys? To strengthen the faith of disciples prone to stumbling, Jesus wants them to hear and to believe the extent to which God has gone to make them his own special possession. How much more could God give than to give his only Son? Is this not giving everything? And for whom does God give this? For you, that you may be purchased, bought from sin and death and devil with the holy precious blood and the innocent suffering and death of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who works for you. In other words, the primary way to understand these short parables is to see them as the work of God for you and not primarily as your effort to stay with God. God is the subject of the actions proclaimed to us. This means that we hear Jesus saying, "Believe what I have done for you," and not "strive to give the right place in your heart to God." Certainly we are to do that. There is no question about that at all. But that is not the main point of our Lord's teaching in these particular parables. We can actually hear these brief words as our Lord's pastoral care for his little flock of believers at this point. And as we do, we can also see how much these parables show God's grace and care for us too. We who are also known by our good shepherd and called by name into his flock. When faith is troubled with the doubts that this world so often throws in the path of believers, what comfort it is to know the extent of God's giving for you. You are that great treasure, that pearl of great price for which God seeks and finds and buys. You are his, and he is yours. And with that trust in God, we then see how we who are the treasured ones of God respond with confidence in the one who is our priceless treasure, Jesus Christ. O draw me, Savior, heir to thee, so shall I run and never tire. With gracious words still comfort me, be thou my hope, my sole desire. Free me from every guilt and fear, no sin can harm if thou art near. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may rise. And let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you that through your Son, Jesus Christ, you have sown your holy word among us. We pray that you will prepare our hearts by your Holy Spirit, that we may diligently and reverently hear your word, keep it in good hearts, and bring forth fruit with patience, and that we may not incline to sin, but subdue it by your power, and in all persecutions comfort ourselves with your grace and continual help, through your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.